Stand by. Transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. The Kelly Alexander Show.
We're excited to welcome author Bridget Swinney to the show, talking about healthy eating while you're pregnant. Social media expert Patrick Charles drops by talking about how music charts are very inaccurate these days because of fake stats involving YouTube hits. Giving Circles expert Sharon Lipinski discusses understanding which charities you should donate your hard-earned money to. We also follow up with a hot Canadian pop band, Neverest, and what it was like to tour not only with the Backstreet Boys, but also New Kids on the Block.
Capture your need for sound.
For new moms-to-be, eating healthy during pregnancy isn't always the easiest thing to accomplish. Today's guest can give you some powerful insight on some do's and don'ts of keeping you and your baby happy and healthy. Joining us is nutrition expert, mom, and author of Eating Expectantly, Bridget Swinney. Bridget, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thanks, Kelly. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. And the first question would be, where did you actually get the idea to write this type of book?
Well, that's a great question. Actually, after I was pregnant for the first time, I realized that there wasn't really a good practical guidebook to steer women towards. So I used my experience, you know, being pregnant and also working as a registered dietitian with moms to start writing the book. And the book is now in its fourth edition. So with this new edition, I feel like it's even more important for moms to know that they can affect their baby's lifelong health by how they eat now and also what chemicals they're exposed to while they're pregnant. So I cover all that in Eating Expectantly.
I want to delve into some, I think, important questions right away, and I think questions that moms-to-be would want to know sort of off the bat. And I guess the first one would be, what are some types of foods that they should be getting a lot of?
Okay. What I see is that moms-to-be aren't eating enough fruits and vegetables. So how fruits and vegetables help is that they don't have that many calories. So you can kind of fill up on them because most women gain too much weight. So if you fill half your plate with fruits and vegetables, that's a good thing. Whole grains. Of course, whole grains give you fiber, so constipation can be a problem during pregnancy, so fiber helps with that. And you want to get a variety of protein, so not just beef, not just fish, not just, you know, beans, but a variety of all kinds of protein sources. And I have a list of superfoods in my book, and I'll give you a couple of examples. So spinach is important because it has lutein, which is an antioxidant important for baby's eye and brain development. We have lean beef because it also has iron, zinc, and a lot of B vitamins. Cranberries. Now, you know, in the fall and winter, we eat a lot of cranberries and cranberry juice and cranberry sauce. Actually, they have something that's really good that can actually help prevent urinary tract infections, which are more common during pregnancy and can actually lead, in the worst case scenario, lead to preterm birth. And a couple of other ones, all the other berries are super healthy, walnuts, salmon, and lentils, which really have the same nutrients as beef, but a lot cheaper and easy to cook. You don't have to soak them, and got lots of fiber for the constipation problems.
Can you talk to us about foods to stay away from? Because I'm sure that is just as important.
Right. And, you know, the thing to remember is raw. So stay away from raw foods. And I know that there's kind of a raw foods movement, you know, towards having, you know, raw milk, raw cheese. You know, raw veggies are okay, but you want to stay away from unpasteurized milk. Cheese is made from unpasteurized milk. Raw fish, including sushi, a lot of moms-to-be, that's a big question they ask me, you know, and my opinion is kind of better safe than sorry. So it's better to just, for those 9 months, stay away from the sushi. Also avoid any kind of raw or undercooked eggs, fish, meat, as well as raw bean sprouts. Another thing that moms-to-be don't think about is, you know, we think unpasteurized juice. Well, when you go to a juice bar, any fruit juice that's fresh squeezed is unpasteurized, and you might ask, well, you know, what's wrong with that? The problem is that sometimes the skin isn't clean, and so that can lead to some bacteria getting into the juice.
Yes, that is very important. And, you know, something that you touched upon a few moments ago, which I wanted to bring back, is the fact that I think a lot of women end up putting on too much weight during pregnancy. I know a cousin of mine she put on 70 pounds and it took her 2 years to get it off. And it it was terrible. If I can give one example of her, and she'd kill me for saying this, but we went out for dinner one night when she was like probably 6 or 7 months, and the amount of food that she ate, including a milkshake, like that would have lasted me for 2 weeks. Like it was crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's a big problem because, you know, there's kind of this myth like eating for two. So you kind of think, wow, finally I get to eat what I want. I don't have to worry about it. But actually the waking can really cause some problems. It increases your risk of gestational diabetes, increases the risk of having a baby that's actually over fat, that can lead to, you know, having being a fat baby, fat child, and fat adult, and increasing the risk of diabetes for your kids also. So the waking thing is really important. And again, eating lots of fruits and vegetables, although it's really simple advice. For example, if you're going to go to a restaurant, eat an apple on the way. That way, when you get there, you're not as hungry, and maybe you're not going to eat, you know, the whole plate.
Can you talk to us as well about maybe cravings that people should stay away from? Because I'm sure that's part of it. Like, I know my cousin was craving like tons of chocolate.
That's interesting because that's the one thing that I do steer women towards.
Okay,
but a small amount. Okay, so. So let's first talk about the things you should stay away from. So things that are really high in sugar and really high in fat, because those have a lot of calories. But also the sugar, things with a high glycemic index, that can increase your blood sugar. And that can cause, you know, problems of its own, leading to possibly gestational diabetes if your blood sugar is too high. Dark chocolate, though, does have antioxidants. And I recommend up to half an ounce of dark chocolate a day or 1 to 2 tablespoons of natural cocoa. So you get more antioxidants in cocoa that's not Dutch. So the thing is, the trick is keeping that to half an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can get your chocolate fix by having a little chocolate syrup in your coffee, limited, of course, because you don't want to have too much caffeine. But there's ways to find, ways to kind of get those cravings without having a whole plate of chocolate, you know, chocolate mousse or chocolate cake that is 1,000 calories.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is registered dietitian, mom, and author Bridget Swinney. For more information, make sure to check out her book, Eating Expectantly, and you can check out her website as well, healthyfoodzone.com. How important is water for a pregnant lady?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because when you were talking about cravings, a lot of times when we think we're craving something to eat, we're actually thirsty. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind. It's really important to stay well hydrated, because if you're dehydrated, it can actually cause preterm birth. So in general, a woman should drink about 2 liters of liquid a day. Now that includes some of the liquid that's in your food. So if you eat lots of fruits and vegetables, you're getting, you know, a fair amount of liquid there. But I really encourage drinking mostly water. Because if you drink a lot of juice, now milk, I'm a big proponent of dairy. So, you know, that would include 2 or 3 cups of non-fat or low-fat milk. But the rest should be really clean, filtered water.
I think that's really important. And I think, like, all of us should be drinking more water. And it just seems like a no-brainer for pregnant ladies. When it comes to grocery shopping, should we be buying more organic food, you know, as a pregnant lady?
Well, yes. Actually, in my book, I have a whole chapter called Keeping Your Baby Safe. And it includes, you know, the pros and cons of organic, as well as some of the chemicals that are in food that you want to stay away from. So I'm a big proponent of organic, but it's very expensive. So personally, I don't buy that many organic foods because of that. And what I recommend is that you look at the Environmental Working Group Dirty Dozen list. For example, the top 5 foods are apples, celery, cherry tomatoes, cucumbers, grapes, hot peppers. So you can either, if you eat those foods frequently, then it's best to buy organic or try to grow your own. Like this summer, we had lots of cherry tomatoes on the vine. Those can be grown in containers real easily. Now the foods that are low on the pesticide list are things like avocados, which is one of my superfoods for pregnancy because they have so many healthy fats, asparagus, cabbage, which is really cheap and it's a good winter food to make soup with, cantaloupe, corn, eggplant, grapefruit, another food that's in season right now. So by choosing the foods that have the lower pesticides and then, you know, choosing organic, depending on how often you eat it, that's the way to go, I think.
Can you talk to us about caffeine? Does that have a big effect on mom and baby?
It can, depending on the amount. So most physicians and obstetricians, they recommend no more than 200 milligrams. So to put that in perspective, a grand latte from Starbucks has 150 milligrams, and 8 ounces of brewed tea has 53 milligrams of caffeine. So, but in my book, I actually go a little bit lower for the first trimester because high caffeine content can actually increase the risk of miscarriage. And also, more in the higher levels of caffeine, it can affect growth because it can affect blood flow to the placenta. And that's kind of your baby's lifeline for, you know, food and oxygen. So, you know, for moms that are like just having a hard time with that, just have smaller amounts of the caffeine. Or do, you know, if it's the coffee, do like half and half. If you do your own brewed coffee, you know, do half decaf and half regular. I also talk about doing a naturally decaf coffee because some brands use chemicals to decaffeinate. So you want to stay away from those.
Bridget, can you talk to us about times of day of eating? Because I know that certain pregnant ladies, you know, obviously have morning sickness. Others do not. But like, for example, should you be eating a certain type of food right away in the morning? And, you know, should you stop eating by like 8 p.m.?
Another good question, Kelly. Okay, so for the morning, I really suggest a high-protein breakfast. This is really important, especially in the second and third trimester when women are more prone, when actually the placenta produces hormones that makes your body resistant to insulin. So as a kind of a preventive kind of thing, especially if you're overweight prior to pregnancy, if you limit your carbs in the morning, that will help keep your blood sugar at a good level. So I would recommend like eggs or peanut butter and toast with just like maybe one serving of carbs. And then later on, add more carbs after, you know, around lunchtime and dinner time. And that's the only recommendation I have as far as what to eat when. The other reason to have high protein in the morning is because it keeps you going longer. I also recommend that women eat small amounts often. So this is a way to kind of keep down the GI side effects of pregnancy. So in the later trimesters, women have trouble with heartburn. So if you have small amounts frequently, that's going to keep that at bay, as well as not eating too late, because when you go to bed on a full stomach, you've got gravity working against you, and that's going to increase your heartburn.
Is there an ideal weight, Bridget, that you would, you know, sort of be comfortable with for a pregnant lady? Like, again, I mentioned my cousin put on 70 pounds, and then if I flip things over to my sister, she only gained 16 pounds. So is there like a zone you'd like women to sort of be in or think about, you know, as they're going through a pregnancy?
Right. Well, it actually depends on what a woman weighs before she's pregnant. So for the normal weight woman, so a BMI in the normal range, that would be 25 to 35 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that I was, you know, normal weight, and I'm small and petite. I'm 5'1", and I gained, you know, towards the end of that. I was at like 34 pounds. Now, for somebody who is overweight at the start of their pregnancy, they might only want to gain, say, 15 to 20 pounds. And for somebody who's underweight, now, for women who are underweight, weight gain is super important because if you don't gain enough, that really increases your risk of having a small baby and even a preterm baby. So for those, what we recommend is decide how much you would need to gain to kind of get to your ideal weight and then add the 25 to 35 pounds on top of that. So if you're 10 pounds underweight, that could put you at, you know, 35 to 45 pounds, which, you know, if you're underweight to begin with, weight gain is probably a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So this can be an issue.
After baby is born, what is the next step with regards to, you know, the mother's diet? Because especially if, you know, you are choosing to be a breastfeeder, I know like certain vegetables sometimes can cause gas and stuff. Like, so is that a concern?
You know what? That is another one of those kind of myths. So I like to myth bust a little bit in eating expectantly. So in general, you don't want to avoid anything unless your baby seems to have a problem with it. So I have to give you a personal example. So my son Nicholas, he had really, really bad gas. I was exclusively breastfeeding. And so I started limiting my diet and limiting and limiting. And by the end, I was only eating like chicken breast and white rice and green beans. And he still had gas. So sometimes it's the food, and sometimes it's just that, you know, a baby's GI tract isn't completely mature when they're born.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, it's just that. So you just kind of have to experiment. But I would not avoid things like cabbage and broccoli unless, you know, you see there's a problem. In fact, research shows that babies actually like the taste of certain foods. They actually like the taste of garlic.
Oh, wow.
So I had a friend that said, you know, he seemed to actually nurse more frequently, you know, when I or nurse longer when I had eaten foods like garlic bread and, you know, things with a lot of garlic. So don't stay away from hot sauce or spicy foods or garlic, because those things actually flavor the breast milk. And actually, you know, babies that taste a variety of flavors, they seem to like more of a variety of foods when they start eating solids. So that's actually a good way to make sure that your baby's, you know, a healthy eater once he gets older.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
And before I let you go, Bridget, what, you know, main tip do you want to leave with my listeners? Like, what, you know, important things should they keep in their mind when it comes to their diet throughout pregnancy?
Okay, well, first of all, think about your diet before pregnancy, because if you can get your body in shape and your lifestyle in shape, and I have to say that I also talk about dad's diet and dad's lifestyle, that is super important also, and we don't really include the dads in the before baby making, but their health and lifestyle is important too. During pregnancy, you know, it's simple advice, but eat a variety of foods, eat in moderation, also exercise, and don't get too stressed. You know, pregnancy is kind of a stressful time because there's so much information out there. But at the same time, you do want to look at the chemicals that are in your environment, including body lotion, fragrance, and things like that, which add phthalates to the diet, and plastics to stay away from. So I kind of include all that in the book. But in general, moderation, variety, and stay away from alcohol too.
Bridget, awesome. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks a lot, Kelly. It's great to be here.
That's dietitian, mom, and author Bridget Swinney. Again, for more information, check out our website, healthyfoodzone.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Last week, Bon Jovi's 1986 hit song, Living on a Prayer, re-entered the Billboard chart after viral video counts were tabulated and propelled the song back into the top 100. This week, it's been revealed that some of the world's biggest record companies are faking view counts for their videos. Music charts have never been less accurate. To explain all of this crazy, and it is crazy, our social media expert, Patrick Charles. Patrick, what the hell is going on?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. You know what? Nobody seems to know. It's really crazy. I mean, with the Bon Jovi thing, first of all, it's a viral video clip of a guy dancing at a Celtics game. Right.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
the clip was actually shot and we've seen it in 2009.
Wow.
It's just a guy lip syncing to Living on a Prayer. I remember seeing it like a couple of years ago as well. But there's a website called utrend.tv and they just uploaded it. Right. So, I mean, you know, it's a new site. So people see all the videos on there as something new, even if they've been floating around for a few years. So but here's the problem. Right. So they shared the video. Okay, it had like 11 million views worldwide. It had 1.6 million Facebook shares. And that video helped the song Living on a Prayer garner 5 million streams in the U.S.
Wow.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the crazy thing is, see, this is what's weird, because we're counting streams and listens and downloads in very odd ways. Because are you listening to the song or are you watching this guy dance like an idiot?
Right. Yeah.
It's all blending together, right? Because the thing is, like, your mom might watch it.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, that's pretty funny, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, look, mom, there's a guy dancing at this basketball game, and your mother might watch that and say it's funny, but she just gave Bon Jovi a stream count.
It's such crap. Like, this is all crap.
Yeah, like it's like nothing counts for anything. And, you know, Billboard, over the last couple of years, they've adjusted the charts to take into account, you know, streaming and downloads mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem is they've actually, they've maybe configured the chart a little bit too heavy towards the streaming.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it doesn't make sense for a song to do this. Somebody has to allow for viral videos to not count as music charts. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it went back to number 25
on
the Hot 100.
Goodness.
But it doesn't seem right, though, does
no.
it? Like, number 25?
Oh, my God. No, I had no idea. Like, this is, like, because, you know, you and I have talked before about how you and I both enjoy numbers. Like, we like sort of knowing what Lady Gaga sold or whatever. But, like,
love
now
it.
It's, like, it's really, it's abstract. You don't really know if it's really true or not.
Yeah, and you don't know what the actual cultural impact is anymore. Like in the old days, they used to say, guy sold a million records. If you sold a million records, that means most people know who you are. But now, when you talk about these streams, like I said, people who watched the video and laughed at it might not even know who Bon Jovi is. Like I said, like you might show it to your mom and she might go, yeah, that's a funny video of a guy dancing around and take absolutely zero notice of the song. So does it count? Does it make sense? The song actually had an 11% increase in downloads, right? And that meant that it downloaded 4,000 times. So that 4,000 downloads plus, 5 million streams on YouTube and 1 million shares on Facebook, and that put it at number 25 on the Billboard chart. That seems a bit wonky to me. You know what I'm saying? It seems a bit wonky.
Like it just seems like, and you know, it's funny because you and I've talked before about how, you know, I, along with, you know, millions of other people, like I just jump onto YouTube sometimes if I need to hear something quickly
Of course.
for something. So I might not even listen to the whole song, you know?
Exactly,
So, but
exactly.
I'm assuming that's counting as something, obviously, my click, my view.
Yeah, well, that's the weird thing. But the problem is, I feel like we're in this period where nobody's selling anything physical anymore. I mean, even downloads are struggling, right? But nobody's selling CDs anymore. And I feel that everybody is desperately grasping at some kind of numbers. But I'm not sure that the numbers mean as much. I actually am sure they don't mean as much as people think they do. Because you can watch things sort of ironically, like you can say, "Oh, look at this stupid video, right? Look at this dumb video this guy sent me," and you play it, and you go, "Isn't it stupid?" And you turn it off midway through, and people go, "Oh, that's a stream," and now they go, "Oh, it's been watched 100 million times." So it's kind of interesting.
And like, you know, if we use Bieber for an example right now, because, you know, he's up there obviously with, you know, millions of views for whatever he does. But
Yes.
like, how many, they can't track, you know, or they're not tracking, I'm sure, the IP of addresses of the same little girl listening to it 16 times.
Well, that's part of the problem, right? That's exactly part of the problem. And it's funny that you bring up Justin Bieber because he's one of the artists who got caught faking views on YouTube.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Wow. Who
So
else is being fake?
it's actually record companies like Sony and Universal. They depend on this quite a bit because obviously this is what their charts are now, right? And see, the problem is they moved a lot of the videos were taken off of YouTube and put onto that site Vevo, which is owned by a couple of the labels, right? So Sony and Universal really depend on YouTube views. And so everybody's saying that they have been, first of all, Sony and Universal are saying that there's been an error, of course. They're saying
Of
they've
course.
migrated some of their videos from there, and they're saying there's been an error. But fact of the matter is, people are, you can buy views. If you just do a Google search, you can buy YouTube views. I mean, you
Seriously?
just, absolutely, you can go buy like 1,000 views.
Oh
They have
my
people that just put
God.
computers on and, watch your video and you'll have 1,000 views. Just like you can buy Twitter followers and just like you can buy Facebook likes, you can buy YouTube views. Just do a search and you'll see, buy 1,000 views. Boom. Just like that, right? So, I mean, this is good if you're in a contest, if you're, if you're trying to win something, if you're trying to, promote something in the sense like let's say you've made a short film or something, right? And you're trying to get someone to fund you for the next one. You can say, "Well, my short film had, 10,000 views." That's the kind of thing people use this for. So, what's happening is YouTube took away a lot of views from people. In fact, they took down more than a billion views combined from Nicki Minaj, Justin Bieber, Alicia Keys, tons of people.
So who's monitoring this now? Like YouTube people?
Well, here's the thing. Google is actually monitoring it.
Oh.
And, for a couple of reasons, because first of all, first and foremost, they want to sell their ads because they have their they call them legitimate paid options, like they have YouTube's TrueView ads, right? That can help inspire new views.
Okay.
So that's something that they actually sell, as opposed to people who just have, a bunch of servers set up spinning videos all day, right? So YouTube is like, we would prefer you give us money than give these third parties money. So they've put up this thing. They put up on a blog, actually. They put a warning that says views generated by some third-party businesses and services will not be counted on YouTube and can lead to disciplinary action against your account, including removing your video or suspending your account.
That's
So, like
awesome.
some record companies might actually have their videos taken down because they can see that, all of these views are coming from very suspicious IP addresses.
Now I wanted to ask you this because, years ago, obviously chart performance, and I mean chart performance is still important, obviously, but like I think we all hung on chart performance for years and years and years. And I think I'm now looking back on this with nostalgia going, oh, those charts, like they had, you know, they were accurate. Were they actually ever accurate? Or is this just a continuation of crazy that was actually happening on actual record charts?
Well, you know what? They were never really accurate, because if you think about it, first of all, they used to do a lot of, you must remember back in the days, like in the 80s and 90s, when sometimes albums would be sent back to the cutout bins, as they called them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They would be sent back because they would ship them. The record company would ship them to stores, but they would be sent back because they didn't sell.
Yep.
So a lot of times they would say, oh, you know, in the first like couple of weeks, this album sold, you know, whatever, like 2 million copies. But a lot of times they didn't. The record company just shipped them out in anticipation.
Okay.
And they got sent back. You know, you would buy CDs, if you remember, with like a little, like a saw mark, like it was hacked on the edge of the case. Those were the ones that were like marked down. And so they were sent back to the record companies. And that's why, the prices are, they'd be like $2.99 or something. So those are albums that didn't sell. So, I mean, even to this day, you go into a dollar store, you'll still see albums with those marks, because nobody knows what to do with them. They don't know how to destroy them or anything. So they just go like, well, we'll send them around the world until finally somebody buys them. But definitely, that's always been happening. So it's pretty crazy. So the charts have never really been that accurate. And also, I mean, listen, Elvis's manager, Colonel Tom Parker, he used to buy Elvis's records, right? At the very beginning. Yeah, he used to buy Elvis's records to push him up the charts. And record companies do that too.
So
is it accurate? You know, no.
But if we look at Madonna, right, for example, like I don't know how many records she has sold. Let's just say it's like 150 million or whatever over her career. Is it really like only 100? Like
probably.
Okay.
But we'll never know. I mean, nothing is ever really. And it's also before they had SoundScan and doing it digitally. I mean, it was just basically like people taking orders and going like, oh, okay, well, we shipped 3,000 copies to Maine, so add those. And we shipped 100 copies to this store and add those. And a lot of those numbers were fudged.
So what we've learned from all of this, Patrick, is charts are a piece of crap.
They are, basically. They really, truly are.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's really not accurate. But I think the problem is, like I said, we're all looking for something to hang on to as far as, you know, some sort of metric to be able to say this person is popular because they've sold this many records, they've got this many YouTube views, whatever. But I think the bottom line is we need to find a way to sort of get away from that because, you know, you and I talked about, you know, Katy Perry, how many records she sold. Like her album came out and didn't really do much.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is she can still sell out 20,000 seats when she puts a concert on sale. So why? Is it because she sold, you know, this many million records? Is it because she has this many million YouTube views? Is it because she has this many million plays on the radio? Like, I don't know. But for some reason, she can do it and somebody else can't. And I think they need to get to the bottom of what that thing actually is,
mm-hmm.
like what your actual, you know, what your actual value is and why you can play where you can play. You know, for example, I mean, Pink is playing in Montreal. She's playing at the Bell Center this week. And I mean, what is that, like probably 15,000 seats she's going to play to?
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't seem to be talked about in the same breath as Lady Gaga and Katy Perry, Miley Cyrus, and the women who are selling, you know, or being talked about the most at this point. Pink seems to be a little bit on the back burner right now.
Yeah. But she's
always
she's
still
solid,
doing a big tour.
Have you ever noticed, like, Pink is just, like, she has gained this level of notoriety now where you just know her show is going to be amazing. She puts out really songs, like, or strong songs, and it's almost like she's just cool. So you go see her or don't see her, but she's cool and she will always be cool. That's how I view Pink.
Yeah, I think you're right. But the thing is, like, how do you get to that point? That's what everyone's trying to figure out.
Yeah.
How do you get there, right? What the problem is.
And I almost feel like it's her personality and the fact that she's, like, from when she came out in 2001, she has not changed. Like, she's always had this, I'm going to do what the hell I want, love me or don't. And she has attitude and she speaks back. And it's almost like people have just gravitated towards her because she doesn't take any crap.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what it seems to be. But that's, like I said, you can't bottle that, right?
No, you can't.
Like, that's really interesting.
Yeah, because, like, I don't think, like, Katy Perry has done her own thing. I don't think if we all of a sudden saw Katy Perry not taking any crap, like, we wouldn't believe it. Because it doesn't seem like that's her personality. Like, when you look at Pink is fierce. There's just, that's just the way it is.
And so yeah, that's the way it seems, definitely.
And that's her, I think that is her X factor, because it's not put on, because I think if it was put on, we would have found out by now, because she's, you know, a decade into her career, you know? So
that's true. I think
that's, and but Katie now has gained this thing where, you know, we know she really loves her fans. She's sweet and cute and just has like a, I feel like she has like this caring attitude. And I think that's what we've bought into her. Like, cause we know that she cares about us. We know that she's cute. Her songs are good. And that's, I think that's her X factor. And like Rihanna has a bunch going on. She's also fierce, but she's like edgy fierce and also could give a crap. So I think that's her X factor. So some of these other artists don't have it. You know what I mean?
Like they don't yeah, you're right, and they don't have a chance to develop it either.
Yeah, that's right, and you even know? Like Kelly Clarkson, if you think of her too, she's got a lot going on as well. Like her X factor is almost sort of hard to define because she does have a bit of like the I don't take any crap, but then it's like she's this good old Texas girl, you know, and has a wicked set of pipes on her. So it's like, and she's just, you know, she's hot, she's good looking, and she has.
She's got a backstory too, because
yeah.
She's got the whole American Idol thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's a big backstory, because there's not that many people from American Idol that we care about.
Yeah, there's no, like, I apart from her and Carrie Underwood, like.
Yeah, right.
Like, I can't even think of anyone else. Like, no one cares about Ruben Studdard, like Clay Aiken, that's
no.
a joke. Like, no one cares.
Nope.
So it's funny, like, they got it right with her, and then almost everything else since has sucked, except for Carrie Underwood.
Well, it's interesting you say that about Kelly Clarkson, because she, I believe, is the only one that really does have a personality. Because if you think about it, I mean, Clay Aiken didn't really, it's crazy. I mean, he came out with sort of a bit of a phony image
yeah.
and then tried to do a change a few years ago. And that
yeah.
sort of backfired on him, as you knew it would.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting. Ruben Studdard, I mean, you couldn't say one thing about that guy, right?
No. Like
you
the
know,
latest
like,
I
he's
saw
just
him
that
was
guy.
On that
he's
Biggest
like a
Loser.
Guy from Idol.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I don't even know. I mean, I'm sure he's still singing probably in the southern U.S., but who knows, you know?
Yeah,
Patrick, you're a rock star. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
That is our social media expert, Patrick Charles. Again, make sure to learn more about him on our website, kellyalexandershow.com, and also make sure to follow him on Twitter at GetPatrick.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is our good buddy, Spee, the lead singer of the hit Canadian band Neverus. Spee, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again, Kelly. It's my pleasure. How are you doing?
Good, good. So we're very excited to have you back on the show, and I think you've been quite busy since the last time we spoke. So can you tell us about your involvement, for example, in We Day and what that is sort of all about?
Absolutely. Well, We Day is a day that's kind of set up for Free the Children, and we work very closely with them. We like to consider ourselves a part of that family. So we do a bunch of these events, and they just do so much good. They have something for everyone that wants to give back. If it's any kind of social justice issue, whether it be building a school, building a hospital in any country that you pretty much that needs it, any kind of third world country. And it's really, really amazing to see how much work they've done around the world and how much good and love that they've spread. And for us to kind of be a part of that is a dream come true for me. I've always wanted to, I guess from the beginning of my career, I've always wanted to give back, use my career as like a social platform for positive change, and they've given me an opportunity to do this, and I'm very, very happy about that. And we work really closely with them. So we do the We Days, which be like 20,000 kids, or we'll do like a nice small corporate event where it's like 250 people, but there'll be investors and there'll be people that kind of really, really help make that project what it is. And the way that Mark and Craig Kielberger have kind of set this whole thing up has been amazing. I think that they're two of the most inspirational people in the world, and I'm very happy to be working with them.
You mentioned before kids, and obviously you guys have a ton of fans that are, you know, either young kids or teenagers, you know, early 20s. So I wanted to ask you if you feel that you and the band have a responsibility to these youngsters, because there's a lot going on these days. Like, you know, social media is so crazy. You know, I didn't have to deal with that when I was a kid. And I think just what they have to go through, just knowing that, for example, with bullying and stuff, you used to be able to get away from it for the most part when you came home. But now, you know, it's in your own bedroom if you turn on your computer or, you know, you're checking your iPad or whatever. So what do you feel as a band that you guys need to do or want to do for your young kids?
Well, like you said, it's an obligation to social responsibility. I think that anything that could be looked at in a bad way can also be looked at in a good way. So yes, we can look at Twitter and Facebook as this as this medium of continuous bullying when you get home. Or we could use it as a medium to actually spread knowledge and educate these people on why it's not good to do that and the benefits of not doing that. And we can have people like celebrities or someone that might be, in a social position to do something where people actually are listening because they have the outreach. And they can use these mediums to make it cool to not do that, to make it cool to actually do some good. And that's kind of what We Day's been doing as well, which is why I'm just so happy to be a part of it. It's not only like you have these guest speakers, like astronauts coming in and artists playing. You have like Martin Luther King III. He'll be speaking. And it's like, there's an eclectic mix of everyone and anyone that has something amazing and positive to say.
Perfect. And I wanted to speak to you as well. You know, you are obviously quite active on Twitter, which is awesome. And I was just wondering, I'm sure you get messages from your fans that probably share, you know, ooh, I'm having a bad day or even a good day. What does it feel like, you know, for you and the guys in Neverest to have such a close connection with your fans?
Oh, we have a very close connection with fans. It feels amazing. I consider our fans, it's like, I call it a joke, it's like family. It's like, they're our fans, but they're also our family, right? And it's, if I get those messages and I see those messages, it's sometimes very hard to respond to everything, but I do love taking the time, even if it's just, we spoke about this before, if it's like a retweet, right? Mm-hmm. And a proper response from me, if someone's saying, I mean, you know, I'm having a bad day, I need a spi hug or something. They'll say something like that. And I'll just put in like, you know, hashtag hug or something and I'll send it to them. Or I'll send a happy face. And it's something that will really brighten their day up. And if I have the ability to do that, to take 2 seconds out of my day and send a happy face and change someone's state, then I'm blessed to be able to do that. And I'm thankful to be able to do that. And I think that they really appreciate that. They really love us for that, and it just draws the connection even closer. So,
joining us on the show is lead singer of Neverest, Spi. Make sure to learn all about them on their website, neverestmusic.com. Spi, can you talk to us about the status of your new record? The last time you were on, we talked about the single Rewind, which had come out at the time. What's next? What single is coming out next, if you can tell us that? And also, you know, how is the status of the recording, and when can we expect the new album?
So, we're currently selecting a second single, and we're very close to getting that done, and we also have an album coming out. It's going to be looking like February for the album. So we're probably going to drop the album with a single.
Okay.
And we're very, very excited about this. We have so many songs. We've been writing for so long, and we've been just ready, getting everything absolutely ready and everything absolutely perfect. We're working very closely with Vic Park Productions. They are like our home base. They're our team, our family. And I wish I could kind of bring everybody into the creative process, so they could kind of see what it's like and see what the energy and the vibe is like, see a song grow from absolutely nothing to what it ends up becoming. That process is something very special and near and dear to my heart, and I wish I could share that. And I think I actually plan on recording that process one day, just finding a way to catch a candid way of doing that and showing everyone, because it's, you know, fans, everyone will ask, how's studio like? When's the record coming out? What's all that like? And words just don't really do it justice. I kind of wish I could bring everyone to that room. We're very excited about this record because the energy's been really high. Everyone's been very, very excited about it. And I just can't wait to share it with you guys sometime in February.
Can you talk to us about maybe some of the writers and producers you're working with for the new album?
Absolutely. So there's a few producers. There's Mike Kyofos. He's one of the main producers. We have Anthony M. Jones. He's worked on Mary J. Blige, R. Kelly. He's a very, very big R&B hip-hop producer, and he works out of the States in Pittsburgh. We also have another producer named Marie Daigle, and we have another co-writer who does a lot of the melodies and lyrics and stuff with me, works side-by-side pretty much on every song. His name is Levi. And these guys are, like, there's writing teams, and like I said, there's family. I think in Neverest, our big thing is family. It's pulling in people that you love and that you trust and that you can work closely with and be brutally honest with, and know that they're not going to take it the wrong way. We know that everything is to benefit the project. And these guys are some of those people that are involved in this, that we can just work, no ego, do the job the way it's supposed to be done, and, you know, strive for the best possible product. And that's why these guys are all family.
Now, if people don't remember, you obviously have a connection to the Backstreet Boys because one of your managers is Howie D. And I wanted to ask you, you know, he's obviously, you know, still quite busy with his band. How does he make time to do both, to be, you know, an active part as a manager and also still being an artist at the same time?
He's very good at doing that. He is one of the busiest men I've ever met. He's always on tour. He's always working it. And even when he's working, he's still working for us, too. So we always fire emails back and forth. So he's always in the loop with what's going on. He's always got his ideas that he puts out there, and he's great at implementing and putting us in contact with some very, very good people. He's been the face of this project, as you know. Everyone that hears Nevers are like, oh, it's Howie of the Backstreet Boys is your manager. It's like even just that alone is him doing so much work for us, you know, and that's what's... And if you meet, and I don't know, have you met Howie?
Yes, I've actually had him on the show, and he was awesome.
Oh, yeah, he is one of the most humble men I've ever met. When we first started off, just to give you an idea of what he's willing to do for the projects that he works for, when we first started off, he got in a van with us. There's about eight guys, shoulder to shoulder in a van, and we drove around, and Montreal was one of the first stops that we came to, actually, and we visited radio across Canada when we first released About Us. And he was in that van with us. He could have taken a plane. He could have said, yeah, I'll just meet you guys there. He crammed himself in that van with us. And it was one of the coolest experiences. It shocked me because I would look over on my shoulder and be like, kid, there's a Backstreet Boy beside me right now. It's kind of crazy right now. So he's absolutely awesome.
And I wanted to ask you, what have you learned, you know, from a band like Backstreet? Obviously, you have a connection to them. And then I know that you opened for, you know, NKOTBSB when they did their tour. What was it like seeing New Kids, for example? What did you take away from? Because they're obviously veterans. And, you know, Donnie Wahlberg not only has the music situation going on, but he's got that hit show Blue Bloods. Like, what do you take from all of that?
I take all the good that they offer to the world and the industry. It's just literally being the best you can be at what you do and being just down to earth and humble about it. Like, these guys have no bad bones in their body. They're just good people that love doing what they do, and they're just honest and cool about it. Being on tour with them, we've had a connection instantly. It's like, I can give you a few instances just to give you some ideas. First sound check of the first show at the Bell Center. New Kids and Backstreet Boys. So Bell Center was my very first stadium, and I was terrified and excited at the same time. So I'm doing my sound check, and as soon as I get off the stage, there's like 20 steps to get down the stage. As I'm going down, AJ's waiting at the bottom. He's like, hey, is that you singing, man? I'm like, yeah. He's like, man, you sound great. I'm like, man, you sound great, man. we had a bro down instantly as soon as I got off the stage, and this is one of the first times that I was meeting AJ. And then really having like a conversation with him. It is really, really cool to see that. And then Nick's walking by playing his guitar, singing, hey man, how you doing? Hey brother, how are you? And it's just really cool atmosphere. And then literally 2 hours later, we're at catering, we're eating, we're shooting the breeze there. And then they're on stage and they're rocking it for 20,000 people. Like, it doesn't even make sense how the transformation goes. It's just, they're just guys that are just so cool and chills. And then literally they're rocking for 20,000. And the exact same thing goes for New Kids. We're sitting in our dressing room. Jordan Knight comes by to say hi. He didn't need to say hi. He didn't need to come in and say hi and see how we're doing and all that kind of stuff, introduce himself. A bunch of these guys are just, they're all, Donnie was in his white suit before we go on stage, and he's smoking a cigar backstage. I don't even know if smoking was allowed. Smoking a cigar in an all-white suit with his hat and his sunglasses on. And I walk by him, and I'm like, I stopped. I'm like, Donnie. And he looks at me and goes, you have no idea how cool you look right now, man. you're oozing swagger. It's ridiculous. And he just starts laughing. And he shook my hand and he went on the stage because he was literally about to go on stage in the last 30 seconds. It's these things that it's like, I have so many of these stories of just how they're so cool, so down to earth, and then they just turn it on. They go on stage and they rock it for 20,000 people.
That's crazy. Thank you for sharing that. And speaking of touring, I know you're heading out with Sean Desmond, who was obviously a real Canadian treasure. Are you guys like buds, and how did this tour come about? And do you plan to do more touring, whether with him or with another Canadian act?
Absolutely. So we're going on tour with Sean and with Tyler Shaw, both of which are really good friends of ours. And it's really cool. Sean and Neverest, we all do the Wee Days, right? So he's also attached with We Days, like very, very much. So the We Day dance, all that kind of stuff, hosts, you name it, he does it, performs. So we're backstage all the time, and it's funny, I'll be watching the show, Magic Johnson was speaking, so I'm sitting there, and I'm just side stage, and I'm watching. Sean's about to go up and introduce someone, so he walks by me and sacks me. Just like, oh! And it's so funny, we kind of have that brotherly relationship, just to give you an idea. So us going on tour together is going to be very interesting and a lot of fun. And I'm very excited. I'm excited for the fans, too, to kind of feel that energy. You know, when the two bands get along together so well, it's cause for a great show. And we're so excited.
That is fantastic. And before I let you go, I wanted to ask you this. I know Headley, for example, you know, they are doing so well and their new album Wildlife is out. Do you look to them as well as inspiration? Because they seem to do, you know, really well in Canada. They have such great support, it seems, everywhere they go.
Absolutely. First of all, they're amazing guys, and I'm so happy for their success. And we get a lot of comparisons drawn to us and Headley. It's like, oh, you guys are a Canadian band. Hey, Spee, you're kind of like silly and quirky. You kind of remind me of Jacob. Like, we get that all the time. And that's an amazing compliment for us because, yeah, we look up to them. They're fantastic musicians. They are the staple band in Canada, in my opinion. And I'm so happy to even know them and to even be able to say, yeah, you know, we've shared the stage with them at a Wee Day. Or it's just really cool. I find that the Canadian industry is a lot like that, though.
Like,
you had Ish on the show the other day. You know, Ish's songs have been doing so well on radio. And what's really cool is that I've known Ish before that point, before his songs blew up, before he, you know, all this started for him, when he was actually in the studio working hard, when no one actually knew what was going on. And I love that because he was such a down-to-earth, humble guy. And then songs took off. And again, it's the exact same. Nothing has changed. He's still the coolest dude you'll meet. And it's what I love about this industry. Is it's a small industry, so the people that are cool and are humble and down to earth are the ones, when they do get the success, it just makes me really, really happy.
Fantastic. Spee, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We always appreciate when you're on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
That's Spee, lead singer of Neverest. Again, make sure to check them out online, neverestmusic.com.
It seems like everything has happened again. It's the same old story. People keep on getting in my way. I'm trying to do this for me. I'm tired of chancing everything and putting all this on me. It's breaking every little piece of me. And I don't ever want you to leave. I'm trying to make it right, this thing that they call love. I need you in my life. I'm trying to make it right. Why couldn't it just be a one way, so I can give you affection? Never thought I'd see the day. It's not fair for me to choose. It's not easy to explain. You'd have to walk in my shoes. I'm trying to make it right, this thing that they call love. I need you in my life. I'm trying to make it right. Stay. Either way, I'm gonna lose. Cause you know I want it all or nothing at all. You make the call about us. I keep hearing it about us. I don't care what they say about us.
I'm tired
about us.
Remix. Kelly Alexander Show.
It's been a lot of fun on the show today, and a big thank you going out to my guests, Bridget Swinney, Patrick Charles, Sharon Lipinski, and Neverist. Here is your inspirational quote of the week, this time coming from Andrew Jackson. Take time to deliberate, but when the time for action arrives, stop thinking and go in. Thanks so much for hanging out on the show. I always appreciate your time. Please make sure to check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Kelly Alexander Show, and of course, all of our social media, at K Alexander Show on Twitter, Kelly Alexander Show on Facebook, and of course, our website, KellyAlexanderShow.com. www.thecellyalexander.com. Have a great week. You and I will chat soon.